Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 13 ranks. I am Chris Welsh, your host today, joined by Brandon Funston from The Athletic, and we are picking on Jake Seeley. We got Jake Seeley's Week 13 ranks. We've got Brandon in here. We're going to be finding some differences, picking it all apart, and seeing where we can get you guys set for this Week 13, which has a big old bye-pocalypse. Brandon, your thoughts on six teams being on a bye in Week 13, yay or nay?
Why does the NFL hate fantasy? Why do they bite the hands in Week 11, Week 12, especially to backload the season with six teams? I think it's ridiculous.
And we're not done. We have one more. We have one more bye week next week with like a couple teams. Yeah, it's whatever. I think there might be, though I haven't seen them, there might be some people out there that maybe enjoy the strategy just a tiny bit, but I do think it's very excessive and it's odd. You know, you have buys and then Thanksgiving, you're like, nope, everybody's playing. And then it's like, all right, now six. And yeah, I know we extended the season, but it's a big oddity. And this is a really important time too. And then to throw, you know, six teams on a bye, and it is not, nor do they care, of course, about fantasy or anything like that. But it is not great for fantasy where there are literally bye weeks on the last regular season game of week 14, assuming people moved. I know some people play to week 18. We've done this bit a whole bunch. Still huge, huge hugely against the week 18 NFL fantasy playoff going on. The championship going into week 18, I think, is asinine. But, you know, that's me. That's me. The other people like to do it. And some people like that chaos too, Brandon, because they like the idea of a backup quarterback playing in Kansas City or a random running back playing for a team that's not vying for anything. Like, they like that player pool. Me, no. But I don't know. Maybe you do.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't done the studies on this, but I feel like with the extra game, if teams have an opportunity to rest in week 18, they're more likely to do it now than they would have when there was a 17-week season. There's just one extra week, and I think mentally people are like, well, we have an extra week now. Let's make sure we really rest our guys going into this. So where maybe you had a little bit less in week 17 when that was the end of the year, I feel like maybe people are curbing their players a bit more. And I don't know if that's true. Just in my mind, that's how I feel like maybe that's what's going on. But you know, someone needs to do a study on that. If you have the time, I recommend you do that.
Not me. I think that was more rhetorical. If you out there listening, if one of you have out there, I think that'd be great. Me? No, not doing that. We're going to go through some news and notes. We're going to be talking, giving you like a basic little primer of where Jake's ranks are and maybe where some of those differences are. So we are going to get you all set. Speaking of getting you set and those ranks, if you want the waiver column, you want the rank column, which consistently is updated, and a gajillion other awesome things, make sure you go and check out The Athletic and sign up today if you're not already. I imagine at this point in the year, most of the people listening do and have it, but just throwing it out there, you did miss on the Black Friday deal, but keep your eyes posted for other great ones. And make sure you download the app. The Athletic app is a very, very great tool. You can get notified of a lot of the stuff as well. So download the app and let's get ourselves started. We do have some news and notes on the practice front. These might be relatively important because, as mentioned, ranks are a little bit wonkier this week because six teams are on a bye. And like I went through and kind of looked, you know, you have like three impactful running backs that are missing time. You could stretch it to four and then you're kind of stretching it out. And then, you know, same thing goes to wide receivers. You're missing some good players. So you're getting fringier players moving up. So any injuries that are going to take more players out are going to be even that more devastating. Wednesday practices don't mean a ton, but boy, Thursday practices start to open your eyes a little bit. Later in the season, it's not as dramatic as early in the season, but still, guy doesn't practice on Thursday. Keep your eyes open. And we had three guys that didn't go Wednesday that returned to practice, which is good news. Tank Dell returned for a portion of the practice, which is a great sign. We had Tyreek Hill return to practice and Raheem Mostert returned to practice. These were all Thursday returns here. Is there any, do you have any trepidation with Tank Dell at all? I think there's a lot of optimism, of course. This matchup looks really interesting, but I don't know. Tank has been a little bit banged up during the week.
Yeah, no, I don't have a ton of reservation, and a lot of it just has to do with the fact that, you know, this has been one of the more prolific pass attacks in a week when you have six teams out on a bye. Like, you have a hard time rationalizing your way to moving Tank Dell down to a point where you're just not playing him. In fact, you can't even rationalize him, I don't think, outside the wide receiver one class. Now, his teammate and running mate, I have argued my way outside the wide receiver one class. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think Tank Dell, you know, you're setting and forgetting it this week with him in your lineup.
Yeah, and see, that's the interesting, well, I mean, we will get to it then, because that's the thing I think you could poke. You could poke and be like, you know, do you go Nico over him? And that's kind of the ultimate conversation. So those were some of the more impactful of those guys that you've been wanting to pay attention to. There also was, I haven't seen the update as far as Thursday goes, but throwing this out here, the Saints wide receiver situation is very important. We talked about it in the waiver episode. This could move A.T. Perry into a wide receiver three this week with all these buys and stuff. But we did have Olave return to a limited practice. I think that might be telling. He was suffering the concussion. He would be one of, like, you know, three or four players since they've started the protocol to actually return in the same week. So there's nothing guaranteed, but he did return, where Rashid Shaheed did not. And I think the expectation is Shaheed might miss 1 or 2 weeks. But if Olave comes back, it's another great matchup. A.T. Perry might drop down a little bit. But any thoughts on Olave? Are you going to trust Olave? Even if he's active, are you going to feel like this is a good-to-go situation?
Yeah, and here's the thing that Michael Selfino, my colleague, a writer for The Athletic, always mentions. If a guy gets cleared of a concussion, it's not like he's cleared. It's it. He's good. I mean, that's 100%. There's no kind of like, you know, Aaron Jones where you're dealing with a hamstring and you come back and you're like, oh, we got to kind of like slow play him in there. If he's cleared, he's cleared. He's good to go. And if that's the case, then I would feel really good about him, because the matchup against Detroit, that's where you can hurt them, is in the passing game. I like the fact that he was practicing limitedly on Wednesday. You know, I guess I read that last year he had a concussion. He did practice on a limited basis on a Thursday and ended up not getting cleared. But so we're a day earlier and we'll see. I think it's probably a coin flip at this point, but if he's cleared, I'll be good to go with him.
What about A.T. Perry? What would, I don't know where you were with A.T. Perry in general, him without those guys versus with, what does your value look like? Cause one thing I'd point out, I personally think Taysom Hill, regardless of Olave is there or not, I think he just takes a boost. If Olave's not there, I think he takes a bigger boost. You could look at Juwan Johnson maybe as well as one of those players, and then blatantly, like, Alvin Kamara probably just gets littered with them. But taking all that into consideration, if Olave's there, what do you do with A.T. Perry?
Yeah, I just think he's kind of a boom or bust, sort of pushing the top 40, you know, of the wide receiver group. But I feel like you're going to get, you know, three catches out of him. And if one of them's a big play, you get lucky. And if one of them's not, then, you know, you're kind of dealing with mostly a dud there. I think he's just going to be boom or bust this week.
So here's one that we might really want to pay attention to. Again, a lot of these can be a bit of nothing, but we were supposed to see Travis Etienne, who, if you remember, Travis Etienne got knocked out a little bit in the week 12 game when we saw D'Ernest Johnson. Etienne did return. Etienne was supposed to be there on Thursday's practice, but it was reported by ESPN that Etienne wasn't spotted anywhere. He's on Doug Peterson has put him on the day-to-day consideration with his chest injury. He was not spotted anywhere. And if that were the case, D'Ernest Johnson has been the guy that has jumped Tank Bigsby. He's had 7 carries 2 straight weeks, and he's had at least a catch. I would say no matter what, D'Ernest Johnson's probably going to get a tiny bit more run with Etienne kind of dealing with whatever this is. But any speculation on your concern with Etienne banged up, if he is active, and if he's not, what that does to D'Ernest Johnson?
Yeah, you're stepping on all my guys that I'm going to be talking about.
I didn't even look. You know what? I didn't even look at the rank sheet down here who you're going to talk about. So maybe that's a question.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about too much. But I will say that D'Ernest Johnson, like compared to like, I don't know, Damian Pierce or some guys that you might normally go ahead and roll the dice against, I think D'Ernest Johnson's a great sort of RB3 dice roll this week. You know, I'm just looking at the rankings list. Like, I would not play.
Is this without Is this with or without ETN?
I just think with or without. I mean, if it's without ETN, then I think he's absolutely in the RB2 and maybe even higher. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at, yeah, I probably wouldn't push him all the way, but I'd push him into the teens, I think, if ETN okay. was out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
That's what I was going to say, because you're right. We are going to step on your conversation. So maybe it's more about if ETN were not there and D'Ernest Johnson is just the guy, that's what we want to look at. Interestingly enough, he only has 4 catches over the last 3 games, yet I'm trying to do the math here, has 104 receiving yards on those 4 catches, which is just bonkers how he's broken those big plays, though he hasn't done a lot on the ground. He is probably a 20s to teens type of back if ETN is not there. Not spotted at practice, definitely going to play a role in what we're going to talk about here in just a tiny bit with ETN versus where Jake's ranks are. And Jake will probably also have some adjustments. One guy we did not see in practice as well on Thursday was Trey McBride. And, you know, the tight end market, guys come and go, but Trey McBride is one of those that you want to make the big bet on. This happened in the same notion of them waiving Zach Ertz, by the way. And nothing crazy to think about here, but Zach Ertz was waived and Trey McBride did not practice. Is that going to give you a little bit more hesitation to maybe, I mean, we have a tight end sleeper here in a little bit that maybe we can pivot to, but I don't know if you have any extra cautiousness with Trey McBride not practicing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it Jeff Swaim? Is that your next in line for the Cardinals there?
Would you trust a next in line with the Cardinals? Would that be the play, or trying to find like Parnum or whatever?
One thing I will say is that the Cardinals have, no matter who's been the quarterback, you know, they have consistently heavily targeted the tight end position. They're not particularly healthy at wide receiver. Michael Wilson hasn't been healthy. Marquise Brown's not 100%. And, you know, you got to deal with TJ Watt and company this week. So maybe the tight end is going to be at play no matter who's out there. I mean, I would like Trey McBride, a lot if he's out there. But if he's not, I mean, yeah, I guess, is it Jeff Swaim? it's funny when you're not in the world of having to just swim out there and look around at just anything and everything at the tight end position that might have a heartbeat, you don't always know who the next in line is for some of these teams. When you're down to the third tight end in Arizona, I'm like, Jeff Swaim's had, he's had what, 8 catches on the year? I guess he's the next guy. I mean,
So let me ask you this. Would you rather a Jeff Swaim, let's say McBride was out, would you go Jeff Swaim or Kyle Pitts versus the Jets?
I'd probably just go Kyle Pitts because, you know, there is a chance that you somehow get a run after the catch of 30 plus yards from Kyle Pitts, which you're not going to get from Jeff Swaim.
How about this one? McBride is out. Swaim or Tyler Higbee?
Okay. I'd probably go Swaim, to be honest with you.
And just pointing out, like, might be some other options out there.
Yeah.
Even if McBride is healthy or does play, maybe there's some limit type of stuff going on. If a guy like Pat Freiermuth was out there, I would go with Freiermuth. You know, I think there's a lot of optimism with
After
Matt
last
Canada
week,
out.
You'd have to. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. Only other thing on the just injuries and starts and stuff. Athletic's own Jeff Howe reports that the Patriots are prepping Bailey Zappe to be the starter in week 13 for the Chargers. Don't really know what that does. All we really care about is Demario Douglas active. That's kind of the main thing. Bailey, I've said this a couple places this week. I thought Zappe did a little bit maybe better job with distribution of the ball. But we kind of actually don't want that with the Patriots. We just want him to throw it to DeMario Douglas. That's like the guy that we're, you know, that we're focused on. I don't know if there's anybody else you're focused on. Parker was getting, Devontae Parker was getting a little bit of run in the first quarter, but then kind of disappeared. Speaking of tight ends, you got Hunter Harvey. I don't know. Bailey Zappe doesn't really do anything for the offense, right?
No. You know, Ramondre Stevenson has been, I think he'll continue to have a huge role, but what I'll be interested in is you can usually always hurt the Cardinals, or I mean the Chargers, with the running back in the passing game. And I think Stevenson, who hasn't been, he's been a big disappointment in the passing game this year, but that's been mostly with Mac Jones. He did get, I believe, 4 catches for only 5 yards last week with Zappe. So, you know, I would think that they would look to throw to him some more, maybe hopefully be more productive in that, you know, in that aspect in the passing game for sure.
We need to pay it. Do we, you and me need to pay attention to the receiving yard prop whenever that draw, or the reception prop, I'm sorry, which here it is. It's plus money, 3.5 at plus 114 for Ramondre Stevenson right now.
114 plus 114. I think he's 4 plus catches. If that was minus money, I might shy away from that, but at plus money, that's because I think he's 3 to 4. I think that's the right number. I think he could conceivably be 5 or 6. So I think what I like is when the floor is right below the number, you know.
I agree.
So I feel like, you know, at worst you're gonna lose by the hook at 3.
Yeah, I mean, and when they're telling you like they like at least 3 catches from Ramondre, and Ramondre could break something, you know, so that's out there. Let's talk about the ranks. Not just the bets, though you and I can definitely do it. If we want to give the quick primer to where Jake's ranks are at, Jalen Hurts comes in still at number 1, even though it's against the San Francisco 49ers, and I think they are near dead last in fantasy points given up to quarterbacks. Let's see. They give up the second least fantasy points to quarterbacks over the entire season, and they are giving up the least amount of fantasy points to quarterbacks over the last month. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is special and something different, but I do not have Jalen Hurts at number 1 this week. I think he'll still do great, but I think the 49ers kill some of that upside, but maybe that's me. It's not Jake. He's got Jalen Hurts at 1. Tua comes in at 4. Brock Purdy, number 5, a top 5 quarterback this week. Kyler made it into the top 10, and Russell Wilson rounds out the top 12. Those are some of the names that you want to pay attention to, but let's actually start with the first issue. He is a top 10. He's actually a top 6 quarterback for Jake. He knocks down 3 spots for you. So this is kind of a big differential. It's Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has got the matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. He has scored well. I think he had 2 touchdowns last week. He had 4 the previous week. He's kind of finding himself. Zay Jones has opened back up. Calvin Ridley, as everybody knows about. And the Bengals, one of their biggest problems right now is going to be them being able to maintain the offense on the field. So you're not giving more opportunities. Jake sees a lot of that upside. You are a little bit indifferent. You've bumped him down to 9. So where's the discrepancy for you versus Jake here?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about top 10 quarterback either way. But we can't forget that it was only about 2 games ago that we all said that Trevor Lawrence, you know, in terms of being a generational talent, was going to be a colossal bust, that he was meh as it gets. And he's had 2 really good games, but it's, you know, part of those 2 really good games is 3 rushing touchdowns. So that's a little bit of an anomaly. He's a good runner, but I don't think you're going to expect that kind of rushing production week in and week out. I think the problem here is that they are an 8.5 point favorite. At least that's what it was as of yesterday or this morning. I think just given the situation, I think Cincinnati, I mean, Jacksonville's going to handle Cincinnati no problem with Jake Browning at quarterback. And I think that we're going to see a very kind of conservative sort of game plan. I don't think there's going to be a lot of risk, and that's kind of tied into me and Trevor Lawrence in the running game. But I also think they're going to get a lead, and they're probably just going to be able to sit on it, because I don't think Cincinnati's going to pose much of an offensive threat in this game. And when Doug Peterson sees that, I think he's going to throttle back pretty early.
Yeah, and, you know, he does have Lawrence over C.J. Stroud, and maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, picking at stuff here, but it's just like, I don't know, Stroud, I think, is just such a lock every single week with those weapons and how they throw the ball. Herbert is under him. Howell is under him. Obviously, you know, the only big surprise here is Purdy jumps Trevor Lawrence. Who are the two guys you have in front of Lawrence? I'm just curious.
One guy that you don't have there is Kyler Murray. Now, he has a rushing touchdown in three straight games, and that's, to me, not an anomaly. That's just part of the built-in, you know, deal with him. And I just see, you know, Pittsburgh getting after him and Kyler Murray running and just making plays, you know, schoolyard style, which is how he's always done it. And so I probably roll with Kyle Murray. I have him ranked right ahead of him. I do have Sam Howell right in front of them. So it's Stroud, Sam Howell, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, yeah, that's where I was kind of thinking we were going with this. I was curious if Howell had jumped over him. So I think that's actually pretty telling, too, about like where you are. Even though it's only three spots, top 10 moving three spots is a big deal. But also for you to have Howell over Lawrence, I think, shows your pessimism of like what he's ultimately
I just like the the volume upside in that one. That's why I have Tua at number one over Hurts, and Hurts at number two.
Yeah, I'm the same with you. I have Tua at the top. Yeah.
And if there's, you know, that's just going to push, I think, that's just pushing Washington to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. The second quarterback, big differential when we get outside of the top 12. Jake's actually got one of my favorite, I guess I pick him a lot, but Jordan Love, he's got him at 13. I think Jordan Love's going to be also playing from behind, and he's been 7 touchdowns in 3 games. He's been pretty efficient. You got Gardner Minshew that's in there as well, but one that you are higher on than Jake is Derek Carr. Jake has got him at 19 up against Detroit. You've got him at 15. I'm not a big Derek Carr guy, and especially with these weapons kind of banged up. So what's got you fiending for Derek Carr?
First of all, I just don't think they'll run because that's, you know, that's the strength of Detroit. You know, you look at Detroit, they've been generous in the passing game. And Derek Carr's at home, but Derek Carr has had 300-plus passing yards in 4 of his last 6 games. One of the games he didn't have it was when he got knocked out and didn't finish that game, and Jameis Winston had to come in. So I think, you know, we talked about it. Even if Chris Olave doesn't play, there will be a village of people. I mean, it would probably be, you know, I think Alvin Kamara could push 8 to 10 catches in this game. We've seen that happen. Juwan Johnson, who was a former receiver in college, I think he's going to have a big part in this game, no matter what, even if Olave does play, because there's, you know, Michael Thomas has been out as well. But I just think that it'll take a village. But I think Derek Carr is going to, you know, be throwing a lot there at home. I'm not ranking him absurdly high. He's number 15 in a 16 bye week. So I just have him, you know, I just have him in a solid QB2 range. And I think there's still upside there, even if Olave doesn't play. But I'm leaning in my mind towards him coming back on a Wednesday. Maybe he has a really good chance to come back and play on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll throw out Jake has Kenny Pickett at 18. I don't hate Pickett this week. I think the only thing that'll take Pickett away from, that's probably a little bit more super flex or really deep league, but only thing that takes him away from having like a really good week is that they might just be able to run all over the Cardinals with both Najee and Jaylen Warren, and that might kill some opportunities. Let's go over to running backs here, where the number one running back, Christian McCaffrey, jumps up. Doesn't matter who he's against. We're going to talk about number two, which is going to be the interesting one. Alvin Kamara comes in at 3. Kyren Williams, 4. He's really established himself. You know, that's interesting. Well, let me just ask you real quick on the Kyren Williams one, because the Cleveland defense just stares at you. But obviously, we get hyper-focused on the offense and what the hell is that offense going to do. Kyren dominated last week. Do you think he's going to dominate? He can do a repeat against Cleveland's defense?
Well, I'm just looking at Cleveland, and they've stumbled a little bit. Their last 3 weeks, they've given 22% more than the average team. You know, I just think you mentioned Kyren Williams in the season. I think I expect Kyren Williams is going to get the job done no matter who he's facing. This
other one, I don't mean to keep putting the focus against what we are going to talk about here, but the other one is, Jake goes hard on Zach Moss. Zach Moss at 5. Zach Moss comes in at 5 versus Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I missed that too. That is a very, very aggressive play. And just taking a look here, Tennessee is giving up, over the last month, they are giving up the 9th most fantasy points. So I guess I see it from that angle. It's actually the receiving side. It's pretty interesting that a lot of damage is been done against Tennessee. They've given up 165 yards. I think there's a bye in there as well. That's the 6th most receiving yards to running backs they've given up, with a touchdown but on 110 tips, only 383 yards. So, I mean, it's a good matchup, but I think maybe it's like that volume play that I don't like him quite that much, but I do like Zach Moss. But I'm assuming he's thinking it is all volume to Zach Moss.
And a little bit like, I mean, I have him at 16. I mean, playing him, obviously, and he had a great run there. I mean, Indy is a great run-blocking offensive line. That offense is geared around running the ball. But Zach Moss is, you know, if we're just being honest, he's not one of the better running backs in the league. He's, you know, he's a grinder. And we'll see. I mean, it's my idea of Tennessee, you know, you've mentioned it. They've kind of flip-flopped who they are identity-wise as a defense. Like, early in the year, you didn't want to face Tennessee with your running back. And now it's, you know, and it was a good matchup for wide receivers. And now it's kind of flip-flop. So we'll see. I don't know. Five is aggressive. Five is completely buying into everything that happened early in the year, buying into Tennessee just no longer being a good run defense. You're just basically saying the stars are aligning for Zach Moss to put him at five.
This other one is big. And I will give the slight nod that I think you could see an adjustment based on this injury or lack of practice, but we've already kind of alluded to it. One of the biggest differences that you guys have got is Jake has Travis Etienne at 2 this week. Travis Etienne up against Cincinnati, number 2. You've got him at 10, so you guys both have him as one of the top guys. Bengals giving up the 8th most rushing yards over the last month. They've also given up the 2nd most rushing touchdowns, tied with the Panthers and Giants. I mean, that's the range that they're in. And, you know, Etienne has been a monster, but I would assume the practice thing is going to make him adjust. But even not, the Jaguars kind of dig Dearness Johnson. He's had 8 touches 2 straight weeks. That takes away from Etienne. As good of a matchup as this is, I don't agree with the top 2. Jake might be dancing all over our graves here, but I'm with you on this one, Funston. Etienne at 2 is a little too dramatic for me, and you've got him at 5. Or 10, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, so much of what Etienne has done this year has been built into his touchdown production. He has 8 touchdowns, but I'm wondering how long he's been injured. There's been talk about him maybe having something wrong for a while. Dearness Johnson, you know, has become more and more of a thing with each passing week of late. But you look at Etienne, he hasn't averaged over 4 yards. He hasn't hit 4 yards a carry in 6 straight games. He's only once been over 60 rushing yards in those past 6 games. Touchdowns have bailed him out a few times. And that's why I ranked him as a top 10. I can see him getting into the end zone, but the same narrative that I talked about earlier for Trevor Lawrence applies here. I think if they get a comfortable lead, you're going to see a lot more of Dearness Johnson. And, you know, if you have an opportunity to rest Travis Etienne, he sure looks like he might need it. And it sure sounds like the chest injury is a thing that, you know, makes you even think even more that he needs some rest. And this, I think, might be a really good situation for him to get it. So, like, I think there's a decent chance that he scores early or does something big early. If they're getting a double-digit lead in the second half, I think we can just maybe see Travis Etienne fade into the sidelines.
Some wide running back 2 notes, just as far as Jake's ranks go. You've got Derrick Henry at 13, Breece Hall down at 17. I've got him a bit higher. You know, I understand this one. Jalen Warren's at 18, while Najee Harris is at 24. They're both RB2s. I personally lean, I lean Najee Harris this week. Najee Harris has been a good volume play. He actually has just the slight edge on breakaway percentage over Jalen Warren. He makes big plays. Just of elusive rating is up. It's actually surprising. It's very surprising how good he's been. And we saw with Matt Canada out, they actually entrusted Najee on more drives. I think he had 16 carries there. So I actually lean a little bit on this really great matchup on the ground for Najee Harris, but I don't blame anybody for it. But do you buy both running backs being RB2s this week?
Yeah, I do. I don't look at these guys significantly different. And like you said, the breakaway percentage, Najee, you know, doesn't jump out as a guy that's, you know, a game breaker, but he has a lot of long runs this year. And Jalen Warren, you know, has a few more, but like, that's why I rank Jalen Warren a little bit ahead, because I think the workload is basically settled into being mostly a split. And I give Jalen Warren just a slight edge because of the slight, you know, more of a breakaway back. And but they both belong in lineups this week in my mind for sure.
So Etienne and is the top guy. Steelers running backs, top guys. Big difference on Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson, you guys have as a top 10 back. Jake pushes him down to 15. I was actually just about to say, whoa, Jalen Warren's over him. That's not the case, but he's kind of in that same tier. So what's the big gap? Why does the gap exist in your mind between Stevenson and where Jake has pushed him down?
I'm not quite sure why Jake doesn't like Ramondre Stevenson a little bit more this week. Belichick has finally just really started leaning into him. He'd be a lot more Ezekiel earlier in the year, and I think it just kind of proved out that Stevenson is just a lot more of the potent back, and so now we're seeing him more involved in the passing game than he was earlier, but especially in the running game. You look at the last three games, 87, 88, 98 yards rushing. The last two games, he's averaging 21 he's averaging, let's do the math here, almost 25 touches per game. So massive volume right now, scored in two of the last three. I just, you know, we preach volume all the time. Well, Ramondre's getting it. I mentioned the Chargers. It can be a little bit tougher against the run, but man, running backs have had a lot of success against them through the air. Ramondre Stevenson has a dual skill set. I think they can pivot to that if they're not having a ton of success on the ground. And get him involved there. And I'm liking the over on the 3.5 receptions prop more and more as I'm looking at his game log, because he's been over in 1, 2, 3, 4 of his last six, and an opponent that kind of begs you to throw the ball to the running back.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Brandon, you and me. Let's ride it.
There you go.
I'm down. Let's go over to wide receivers here. Wide receivers are led by Tyreek Hill for Mr. Jake Seeley. C.D. Lamb comes in at 3. Michael Pittman, number 6. That's a good one. Jalen Waddle is number 7. So that's two top 7 wide receivers from the Dolphins. Calvin Ridley pushes 9. Dell, 10. This one, I just want to get your take on this. Both 49ers receivers are wide receiver 1s, but Ayuk is 11 and Deebo is 12. There's always this like slight little part of me that's like, that's almost that give up thing. Like, I'm not really sure which one goes. But you can make the argument Ayuk kind of disappears in the red zone, and like Ayuk isn't consistent over the game. That's not his fault. That's really how the offense runs, and they'll, you know, put Deebo in multiple situations. Do you believe both of these guys are a wide receiver 1, and do you believe Ayuk is closer to Deebo?
I honestly tell you the reason I rank them both, I have them similarly ranked. I have Deebo ranked higher because I think of the game against Philadelphia with a really good defense. You might have to be a little bit more creative and throw some curveballs in there, and I think Deebo allows you to do that. But I don't think this is a game where they both go off, but I think it's a game where one of them goes off. I have a harder time deciding. I think people want to generally give Ayuk the credit for being like the man, and Deebo, some narratives last week were that, they had to make Deebo happy, get him involved. I just think Deebo plays so hard and he's banged up a lot. And sometimes like he's just not that healthy, you know? And I think you see them lean into Ayuk a little bit more in those situations. But when he's feeling good and they got the full Deebo skills, I think they're Shanahan's all about using him in every which way. So I think we might see a little bit of that. He certainly looked healthy last week. So you're a 49ers guy. What's your take on it?
No, I think, he kind of laid it out. Like, the problem with Deebo is, like, Debo's got to make the big play. But Deebo doesn't get volume anymore. There used to be kind of like a lot of volume. He's going to get 2 or 3 end arounds, and they're going to probably try to get, like, shorty screen type of passes where he can get extra yards. So some games are more innovative with, like, how they move him in the offense. And I think the movement is what gets him going, like putting him in motion and having those little sweep around runs. I think that is where he could benefit. When you get into the red zone, I also think he is, he's on docket. And it also comes down to McCaffrey. When teams have a little bit of a pull on McCaffrey, they lean on Deebo a little bit more and get crazy. But the problem is McCaffrey, he gets, 7 yards here, catches a 12 yarder, runs another 7, that need for that movement isn't there. I think these guys both eat into each other more than maybe any other duo does. That's the problem. It's hard to have them both be successful. I would lean Ayuk here. I think it's a really great matchup, but and the Phillies, the Eagles, you can throw deeper, kind of like with the 49ers. I just don't know if this is the best spot for Debo, but they're both in there.
Here's a thought really quickly. Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering in my mind, I feel like these are the clear two best teams in the NFC. Do you think this is an everything but the kitchen sink kind of game for both head coaches, or do you think there's some wrinkles that they may want to hold back for a potential NFC championship game?
I think this is everything in the kitchen sink, like you're saying. There's a lot of there's been this new rivalry thing from last year that started up with the Eagles and 49ers. Eagles fans hate Debo for some of his talk. There's already some chatter from Eagles of like, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm forgetting who the defensive lineman was, but like, oh yeah, I talked to some guys. We should pound the 49ers. Like, there's some bad blood. There's going to probably be some flags, and this is going to be, you know, go for fourth downs. Eagles are going for fourth downs. 49ers are going to be hyper aggressive. I'm going to look right now. I think I'm going to take the Debo rushing yard prop. I don't think it hit last week. And the week before, he did hit it, but it was on like one big run. I think Debo is getting some run in this game, and it's at 11.5.
Yeah, and I looked. Philly has like the second fewest rush attempts by receivers against them, and they've done pretty well. But, you know, that is so random. You can go most of a season without playing a team that likes to use their wide receivers on reverses and around kind of stuff, you know, so it's sort of random.
I think they're going to try to get the ball in his hands a little bit more, and that's a really good way to do it outside of trying to do like short passes. And there's going to be such a hyper focus on Christian McCaffrey. So that's just my opinion on watching this team. We do have two wide receivers, and funny thing, they are flipped in your guys' ranks. So the first one you have higher than Jake, but you guys have the next guy in the exact opposite order of rank. So we're going to throw them both out there. Cortland Sutton, you have at 14 versus Jake at 18. And then 18 for you is Nico Collins versus 14 for Jake. So you're in on Sutton. You're not out on Collins, but you definitely are very heavy on Tank Dell, I'm going to have to imagine, if you have Nico down there. So talk us through these two rank differences.
Well, actually, Denver's been, you know, their secondary is legit. I mean, you got to kind of erase that 70-point game that they gave up to Miami. Like, with Patrick Surtain and company, they're one of the tougher matchups for wide receivers, really. Does Surtain stick on Collins? Does he stick on Tank Dell? Does he just play one side? We'll see. And I'm a little bit down on Nico Collins is because I kind of expect Noah Brown's going to be back. And I might move Collins up a spot or two if Noah Brown doesn't come back. But just looking at the games when Noah Brown played, and especially when he went off, you know, it was Nico Collins was the guy that got a little bit more affected by his impact. You know, you look in those games where Noah Brown went back to back with big 100 yard games. I think Nico Collins was like targeted 5 times in each of those games. So I think if one of these guys is going to be impacted more by Noah Brown being back, I think it's going to be Nico Collins. And that's kind of where I lean that way. I think there's a little bit more, just a little bit more volatility there. But you know, again, I have him at 18. I have I'd play Cortland Sutton over Nico Collins because Cortland Sutton really seems like he's just established himself as Russell Wilson's guy. Even last week, he didn't score a touchdown, but it seems like he's flirting with a touchdown all the time. And in fact, he's had a touchdown in 8 out of 11 games. I mean, that's like, you know, we kind of need to be thinking about him sort of along the lines of Mike Evans. I mean, they're like touchdowns every week. And even when they're not, it's like 4 catches, 60 yards. I mean, it's the ceiling or the floor is becoming quite nice for Cortland Sutton. So you look at Houston, you go through their game log of number one wide receivers. They've fared pretty well against
Stingley. That's kind of my problem. That's a little bit of my issue is like Stingley in there. And he was given a PFF grade of below average quarterback to wide receiver rating for Cortland Sutton. So that's where I struggle a little bit. But if you've got kind of back to back, just volume offenses, like Sutton is the number one.
You got to expect a touchdown from Cortland Sutton. And if Vegas isn't continue to give you plus money, I would talk about a guy who scored in 8 of 11 games. That's not, you know, that's a better than 50-50 chance, by the way, for those people that struggle with math out there. I mean, it's like, either way, probably playing both of these guys. That's my discrepancy. There's not a ton of discrepancies for me and Jake this week. It's 16 bye. You know, that's that's to be expected. We've had these weeks before where we just struggle to find guys. So a four spot difference in the top 20 is about as big as it gets for me this week.
Yeah, just other notes. You have Puka at 16, Cup at 19, if you're into that. I love Josh Downs and Rashee Rice this week. I'm higher on both than Jake, but Jake has him at 25 and 26. Also has one of my favorites, Jaden Reed, who are kind of waiting on some practice notes. All three of those guys are absolute loves of mine, and those are inside the top 30 of Jake's ranks. Last up here, our sleeper, just more kind of like tight end pickup to pay attention to, especially if you got some Trey McBride issues. Who are we looking at?
Yeah, well, I made this move. I'm struggling at tight end in one league. I had Jonnu Smith, was hoping that he would return and do something, and he did not. I cut him loose, picked up Juwan Johnson. So if you can still pick up Juwan Johnson, maybe in some leagues he's still out there. I noticed that the ECR has moved him to number 12 this week. I have him at number 10. So the ECR, the experts community, is in on Juwan Johnson this week as well, but maybe not the other people in your league. I would say Tyler Conklin, you know, he should probably get 4 or 5 catches. It's a good matchup against the Falcons if you have to go deeper than Juwan Johnson. Tyler Conklin is not a bad way to go.
And Jake agrees with you, by the way. He's got Juwan Johnson at 11 this week, so as a tight end one. So keep your eyes peeled and pay attention to that. And that is going to do it for the ranks. If you want more, you want exact numbers, and you want to go deeper, make sure you've got your subscription to The Athletic. And if you do, you're good to go. You can just go and search it, or you can go to All In Kid on Twitter. You can click on his link there. If not, you can go and sign up today, get access, download the app, and you can peruse that to help you make some of your decisions. Hopefully we helped you out here today. We'll be back again next week as we are closing in on a playoff run. So good luck. Thank you guys for hanging out. Chris Welsh, Is It The Welsh, Brandon Funston, at Brandon Funston. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.